Hello, nice to have you back on Minbar. If Islam is the most perfect religion and the most complete way of life, why then are Muslim countries more backward than those of the West? The reason why many people ask this question is because we are exposed to the very attractive idea that the truth or the effectiveness of an idea or a system of thought is reflected in its effect on the economic, social, intellectual, and political environments of society, and also that the power of such a system over competing ideological systems indicates that that ideology or that way of looking at things is a more superior or a better one. The objective material conditions of Muslim societies, according to this view, seem to belie the claim of the perfection of Islam. Because of this, we find many Muslims reducing Islam to the realm of only personal practice and adopting secular norms and attitudes in their frantic pursuit of an ever-elusive progress. Is secularism really the key to progress, or are there more objective forces that determine whether a society progresses or remains backward? We will attempt to answer these questions with our esteemed guest, Sheikh Zayd Al Salami, who is a researcher at the Islamic Seminary at Qom. Sheikh Zayd, welcome to Minbar. We're really glad to have you here.
Thank you very much for having me.
And the first question I'd like to ask, we're always asking really, is why do we say Islam is a perfect religion or the most complete religion? What is the basis for such a claim?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It's not really much of a question that you can answer in such a short period of time, but I would probably have to say that there wouldn't be any intellectual proof that can argue in favor of Islam being the most complete and last of religions, or last of divine religions, similar to, for example, proving the existence of God Almighty. But there are composites that make a religion worthy of it being the most complete, or it being the most suitable to adhere to. And these three composites that constitute the most complete form of ideology would be, the first would be that it relies on a holy book or on a scripture, mm-hmm. that throughout the time of its existence is not distorted or in any way changes throughout that time in its continuance with its connection to the divinity. A second composite that makes the religion worthy of being complete is that it has those who are able to interpret the teachings of that holy scripture and also the teachings of the laws and regulations of that holy book throughout time, who in different aspects of the Islamic faith manifest in different ways, whether they be the imams in the Shia perspective, or whether they be the other kinds of Islamic schools of thought. And the important aspect to the second constituent is that this is done according to the true teachings of the Holy Scripture. Mm-hmm. Interpretation isn't that hard to do, but the importance of interpretation is that it is done with authenticity and with connection to the correct form of how it was descended upon the Prophet during the beginning of Islam. And the third would be that the teachings and the laws and rules and regulations of this religion encompasses all aspects of life, and it covers everything that a human might need whether it be material or whether it be spiritual or whether it be mental, whether it be for this world or whether it be for the world hereafter.
And you're saying that these three components can be found in Islam?
Exactly. If we were to look at all of the other religions and we were to compare them with Islam, we would see that there are defects in either one of these three components or three of them altogether. They wouldn't exist in other religions. Like, for example, we have in certain religions where they were sent to a certain group of people or a nation, or they were sent to a nation for a certain period of time, but none of them had the three components that they were able to apply to everlastingly. Mm-hmm. Which, of course, this is a claim in itself, which needs to also be proven and backed up, which I don't think we have the time for that. Mm.
Now, when we look at the history of religion, you know, we see religion, they come from heaven, they come from the divine, right, and they make an impact on the world. You know, and one of the, I have noticed that one of the aspects of religion is that they must create a civilization. Religion must establish itself in the world, and the world has its own rules and laws, you know, that the religion expresses itself by. So every major religion establishes itself as a civilization. Now, we've heard the talk about Islam and religion being a cause of backwardness and so on. Has there ever been a time in history where Islam had a civilizational impact upon the world? And to what extent was this impact?
How successful was Islam in the first 100 years of it coming into existence? We have, as history states, within the first 100 years, more than half of the world was dominated by Islam and the teachings of Islam. It reached all the way to Europe and all the way to China. More advancement there was in the spreading of Islam during that time, that it became a threat to many other civilizations. And all we need to do is go back and read about the different conquerings of Islam and the Muslim nation of that time. When I say conquerings, I don't mean conquering by power, but scientific conquering and the advancement that the Muslim nation had since the beginning of Islam, and that continued for hundreds of years.
Mm. Now, are there any principles in Islam that one could see that these civilization, these conquerings, as you would say, these advancements in science and so on, are there principles in Islamic teachings itself that one can say they are the sources for this type of scientific progress and so forth?
In Islam, you've never had a problem of conflict between, for example, rationality and religion, or the position that ilm or knowledge always had in Islam was so esteemed that the verses, for example, in the Quran that mention the virtue of ulama, for example, or scholars, or the knowledgeable, and their position that they held in society. And for example, during the Khilafat of the Abbasid dynasty, they would give in gold the weight of a book translated. So if someone brought a translated book, they would give as a gift to that translator its weight in gold, you know. And the scholars always had a very close connection with caliphates or the rulers of that time. But then things occurred that distanced Muslims from rationality and distanced these scholars from the rulers, and also led to the fall, if we can call it, of that lofty space that science and knowledge had during the beginning of that time.
So what were these causes? What were the causes for the downfall of the Islamic empire and Islamic progress?
The first would be the rulers themselves. We have many citations of examples of how